Morning, Olegay, my friends. So glad to be with you once again. Look forward to seeing you in person as God allows. Hello. Good Sunday morning. Just a little note, after the service, as usual, and I often forget to mention it, we'll be there'll be a little link for Zoom up here. Maybe, actually, but look at the side of your Facebook posting or in the email that Carla will have sent to you for a just a half-hour chit-chat coffee after service, or ask questions regarding what I have to say, or let's enjoy Jesus together over the internet. It is possible. So today's message, walk with me. I love to walk with people. And those of you who I've had the delight for know this is a phrase that comes out of my mouth all the time. Let's walk together. Let's go for a walk with me. Because besides himself, the greatest gift God gives to us and to each other is human. He gives us each other's. That's his gift to us. Because all God's best gifts come in human form. And our companionship is the greatest gift we have to offer one another. Now, God made me an extrovert, and so I have no trouble asking for your company and coming up to you and say, let's walk together. And as the pandemic comes to an end, let's do it. I'm trying to work my way through as many of the congregation I can to go for what I often call a prayer walk, but it's simply a walk together in the presence of God. And I love walking because amongst other things that happens is your legs get moving and the blood gets going and more oxygen comes in and you think more clearly, and we're together in the presence of what God made. And it really, I find it works in being drawing people together and enjoying one another's company. For me, it's the ideal way to share fellowship, friendship, and company. I really love doing it with my wife. Her only complaint is, Frank, please walk at my pace so I don't have to concentrate merely on keeping up with you. So that's part of the idea of a good walking with together, is adjusting our pace so that we go together. Now, these pictures I'm just going to let scroll through, I want you to let them work on your heart and mind. The delight of human companionship, what it means to be together through the years, through the countryside, through the place, to enjoy a company together, from young to old, from generation to generation, the pleasure of walking together, of journeying together. For me, the pictures that are especially meaningful to me are these, that capture the delight I have in my family, the greatest joy I have in life that God has given me is to be together with my family in his presence. Here we were probably 10 or more years ago. We'd hiked the musical bumps at Whistler, and now we're on the peak-to-peak gondola together as a family. And we love and used to spend much more time, but going on hikes together as a family. One of our favorite places to go was the Chief in Squamish, because it was just a half day's drive or less, a couple hours up the highway and up and down, and it's a good workout. And the life, the view is absolutely fantastic. In the fall of 2012, I took Benita out of school for a day, and we shot up there to the third peak of the Chief. And the view, looking up the Squamish River Valley, is fantastic. It's spectacular. It's something to be drunk in with the eyes and wonder at what God has made. Benita, who those of you who are getting to know her, is actually very, very competitive. And as we were walking up the third peak, which is a longer journey, a younger couple came up behind us, obviously very fit. And by younger, it's by my standards, probably in their late 20s. And they caught up with us. And then there became kind of this smiling, friendly competition as we tried to stay ahead of them and they started to take ahead of us. And as we came up the last steep, rock face, steep incline, the young man and Benita took off together. And at 11 years old, she almost beat this fit athlete to the top. And it was spectacular. It was great fun. We laughed about it. But even though the view was spectacular, the highlight of the journey for me was walking together with Benita, the pleasure of one another's company. Because on a hike, you know, there are two purposes. Really, it's to get there, but it's to get there with your companions. The enjoyment is simply doubled when you appreciate it together. So I want to take a detour and pick up this walking together as a metaphor God gives us for his relationship with us. And I'm going to go way back to the very beginning of the Bible, chapter 5, and talk about a man named Enoch. Now, when I was a kid, and as many of you know, I've mentioned before, I grew up in a Canadian Christian family, meaning if you're in Canada, the question we asked each other wasn't, are you a Christian or a Sikh or a Muslim or a Buddhist or an atheist? The question you asked was, are you Protestant or are you Catholic? And of course, we were Protestant. That was our family background. And occasionally we'd go to church, but faith really wasn't something we ever talked about in our family, nor was God mentioned, nor was really prayer any part of our life other than a prayer my grandmother sent us to say at night. Nonetheless, God was speaking to me and has been speaking to me since I was a child. And that's something he does. If you're ever witnessing to someone about Jesus, you can have for sure in your mind that the Holy Spirit is working with that person and calling to him. So I was sitting in a dentist's office waiting for my appointment, and there was a little magazine rack or book rack for kids. And one of them had a kid's picture story book about Enoch. And I read it. It was short, but it made a beautiful point. It said, Enoch walked with God all the time, and God was Enoch's best friend. And the book said, one day, Enoch was out for a walk with God, and he walked right into heaven with him. And that struck me right to the core. You know, there's only two people in the whole scriptures that are recorded for us who entered into eternal life without experiencing death. Only two people. One is Enoch, and the other is the prophet Elijah. And this story so struck me at that time, probably six or seven years old, I said, God, I want to be your best friend. I want to walk with you. And that Bible story book was actually based off the story of Enoch in the book of Genesis. And very briefly, mentions him. In chapter 5, there's only about 10 verses in total, and actually about only two or three that cover the character of Enoch and his relationship with God. And they're found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. And I'm going to read them with you. They go like this. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. I want to look at the expression of Enoch's relationship with God. It says he walked faithfully with God. There are two main expressions about walk and God in the Old Testament that talk about a relationship with him. The one used most commonly and most often is simply this, to walk before God. Victor Hamilton, writing on this, says this, walk before indicates the service of a loyal servant who goes before his master, sometimes human, but mostly divine, paving the way, or someone who stands before his master ready to serve. So walking in this context is about faithfulness to the master. It's about a moral evaluation or judgment on the person's life. He walked before his master. The one used less frequently is walk with. And Victor Hamilton says this, and I think it truly captures the flavor of this expression. A bit more intimacy seems to be suggested by walking with as over against walking before. Walk with captures an emphasis on communion and fellowship. What I'm telling you here today and reminding you is that God wants us to walk with him. Our faith is not primarily ones of rules and regulations, but of relationship. Walking with God comes first and gives us the inner strength to walk before God. That's why I love the story of Enoch, because it jumped out to me. Enoch walked with God. And even as a kid, I knew that meant that's something you did with your friends. You said, let's go out and play. And you walk with your friend to the playground and you play with him. There's this sense of delight in one another. Life is richer with a partner to walk with life, through a life with. And the ability to walk before in faithful service comes out of the delight of walking with God. Now, the same sense of intimacy, that's a deep, personal, profound knowledge and fellowship and friendship with God, all the best that can be said about a life-giving relationship with a Creator, finds their fullest expression in the relationship of Jesus and his disciples in the New Testament. It's the clearest example of what it looks like to walk with God himself. And it comes out of the story of Jesus calling the 12 disciples. It's interesting, the Gospels record God or Jesus calling to himself the 12 disciples and naming them. But Mark, it's funny, though it's a much shorter Gospel, he records less incidents, but the incidents he records, he actually unpacks often more fully. The general consensus is the Gospel of Mark is actually Mark's, who was probably John Mark's, his recollection of the Apostle Peter's teaching. And so he remembers that Peter said this. Listen to Jesus calling the 12 disciples, and we'll unpack it a little bit. From Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Little unpacking of that. Notice it said, called to him. Called to him. He's the rabbi, and he's calling disciples to him. That's actually 180 degrees different from how it was in the Judaism of his time. Usually, disciples would look for a rabbi to teach himself to, and then they would call the rabbi. They would go to the rabbi. The disciple would choose the rabbi. But it's the other way around here. Jesus is calling and choosing the disciples. Brothers and sisters, friends, if you're walking after Jesus, it's not because you evaluated all the religious options. You said this, that, and the next thing. You may have done that. But ultimately, you're coming and following and walking with Jesus because he called you by name. He chooses, he calls, we respond. He appointed, and I'm not really going to unpack this much, but to say another translation for this would be, he made the 12. And there's a sense in which calling the 12 to him, he is remaking humanity. This is Genesis, this is a tribe of Israel. All again, God is remaking the people of God, starting with these 12. It's a new creation story. And that's what he's doing with us. But notice the order of discipleship here. First, called. The call goes out to follow Jesus. Second, to be with him. He calls us to be with him, and then the call is to have authority to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Relationship comes first. Jesus calls his disciples to be with him before they do any ministry. To walk with him. You know, if you read the New Testament, think about it, it's a moving story. It's Jesus walking with his disciples to this field, down to this lakeside, to Jerusalem, back to Galilee. It's a story of Jesus walking with his disciples. And it's in that walking with that they learn of him. The object of the discipleship is not to learn the law, but to learn the lawgiver. The law is merely an outflow of the character of God. When he sums it up, the law, he says, this is the law. It's love the Lord your God, all your with all your soul, mind, strength. That's be with Jesus. And then out of that, to flow your neighbor as yourself. The object of the exercise is not to memorize these laws, but to memorize and know and learn the character of the Lord you're living with. The writer James Edwards says, the object is to be with him. Gotcha, that's got my little slide out of order here. The writer James Edwards says this about the passage. The simple phrase, to be with him, has atomic significance in the Gospel of Mark. Atomic meaning nuclear power. It's overwhelmingly powerful. It's the object of the exercise. It has, this is where the energy, the life force, the Holy Spirit is in this phrase, to be with him. And I love this phrase. Discipleship is a relationship before it is a task. It is a who before it is a what. It's who we know before what we do. Who we are? We are disciples, friends, and children of God. Who is a person? God isn't one, just the God we follow isn't one of many. We don't say, okay, we'll take this one. He's not just a life force. He's not just an organizing principle. The God who made everything, before whom there is no equal, there is no other God, is a person who knows you and wants you to know him. Before we are doers of good or religious activity, we are knowers of God. And we start with walking God. The same author, James Edwards, says this. And I'm going to unpack this a bit. This is a little thinky time. If, as Genesis 3 indicates, the essence of sin is substituting a false God for the true God, in other words, if sin, which happened in the garden, is us saying, under the guidance and deception of Satan, my will before God's will, I take being God to myself. And actually what I'm doing is I'm actually submitting myself to Satan, because that's his lie. So the essence of sin is substituting my will and my personal Godhead for God himself. So if, as Genesis 3 indicates, the essence of sin is substituting a false God for the true God, then being with Jesus becomes the way of forsaking human idols and honoring the true God, thus recovering the image of God. So I put my will out of the way, or I submit my will to his. To be with Jesus is the most profound mystery of discipleship. And it's not really just a matter of obedience. It's walking with him. And as we walk with him and enjoy what he enjoys and see what he sees and sees the creation he made and the people he loves, we start to become transformed. You spend time with someone and walk where they walk and go where they go and do what they do, you start to become transformed by the nature of the relationship with him. We put God on the throne in our lives when we follow Jesus. Remember, first and most importantly, it is who we are walking with before it is what we do. I still remember how this truth dawned on me. I used to walk back and forth to Whistler shortly after I became a Christian through forest trails. And I remember how powerfully I had this sense that I wasn't walking alone. Whistler's very beautiful, and the trails over Blueberry Hill are just fantastic. And I remember that sense of being in all this beauty, and I was with him. And there is one day in particular that I remember well. I was up very early in the morning to work on the mountain. And I saw the sun rising behind Black Hole Mountain. And I was overwhelmed with the beauty. And I was overwhelmed with the fact that this beauty lived and had a living meaning for me. Because I was with God. And he drew my attention to this beauty. And he said to me, thousands, millions, billions of years ago, however long ago it was he spoke these mountains into creation, caused the earth's crust to come up and become beautiful. He said, Frank, I knew you would be seeing them with me this day all those years ago that I made them. And somehow it makes all of creation come alive, doesn't it? When you see it and recognize it's not just dumb beauty. It's beauty meant to speak to my soul of the loveliness of my Creator that I enjoy with Him, that as I'm walking with Him, the world comes alive. And in the same way, other people come alive when we walk with Jesus. Even if they're people we may be irritated with or angry with, we start to see through His eyes the beauty in every human being He spoke into existence. I was walking with the master of creation while I was enjoying one of his many masterpieces. This is what we are created for. In the beginning, the Bible records this simple statement. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's interesting. There's so much there, but it simply means this was God's usual habit. And in the cool of the day, when the temperature came down and it was even more pleasant for walking, because He knows how we're made, He was there to visit with His creatures. God was there to walk with His beloved Adam, His beloved Eve, in the cool of the day. It's what He desires for you and me. And it's really sad because the next half of this sentence goes on, but they hid from Him because they had realized they were naked. And that was what was lost in the fall, as we lost the delight of this company. But that has been what has gained through Jesus Christ. He has come near. He walks so closely with us that He actually has put His Spirit inside us. And my friends, it's the heart and the center and power of our faith. It's not rules first and then relationship. We don't compel God's love by being good or by being good enough. God's love and His presence with us allows that to flow out of us. And so often we turn that backwards, you know. We all feel like, oh, I have to clean up myself. I have to read a bunch of Bible. I have to do a bunch of praying before God's happy with me. And the truth is, God starts out delighted in you. He looks on you with love and affection. He wants to walk with you. Relationship with God comes first. I'm going to end with this. I'm here. Let's walk together. God. Bless you, my friends. Cheryl's going to sing, lead us in another song of worship, and then Anna and Tyson are going to close the service by talking about the excellent magnificence and size of God's love. Amen. See you on Zoom.
Here a while. Hello, Living Hope. Thanks, Frank, for sharing your words. And here's the benediction for the week.
I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong.
And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen.
See you next week, Living Hope.
Bye. Bye.